Hello and welcome to episode 3 of EXP Boosting. I'm Sakura Dragon, aka Cindy.
And I am Pomtato, aka Vanessa.
And today we have the amazing opportunity to interview Elda, or also known as Thousand Skies. We'll talk to her more about her process of manufacturing giant plushies and about the obstacles that she faced. We'll also throw in some bonus horror stories about overcoming these obstacles that you never knew you had to face the moment they hit you in the face.
Okay, let's jump right in.
Okay, do your little intro, Pom.
Oh, okay.
Don't make it awkward for her!
Welcome to EXP Boosting, the podcast that helps you to just press start and go. Today we have Elda from Thousand Skies. Welcome, Elda. Thank you for doing this today. How are you?
Thanks for being our guinea pig.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are our first official guest on the show.
Yay! So, I'm honored.
Oh, yes. So we're just going to ask you a few questions that we have since you've come quite a long way since I think you started Thousand Skies, it seems. How long have you been doing this for?
It's very vague when someone asks when I started Thousand Skies because I have Thousand Skies as my student portfolio when I was in college. And it was just like a domain so I could upload my portfolio. And it didn't start with like, you know, geocities.com/.
Oh, that's really outdated. Wow. Yeah. Does that even exist?
Yeah, so.
We're making yourself sound old. Let's.
It's okay, I am old. So I think I start in Artist Alley in San Jose around 2009. Maybe there's one 2006, and then I skip a year. Maybe 2006, 2007, I skip a year, and then I start again 2009. And that's like art prints. So, and then it was 2000. When I start manufacturing the plushies, I felt like that's when I fully reached my potential. Mm-hmm. Maybe like I started what Thousand Skies should be. So that might be, that's 2 years ago. So 2016.
Oh, wow.
When you say what Thousand Skies should be, you mean that what you've always wanted it to be?
I feel like before, I still sell my stuff at Etsy because I feel like I don't know what the store would like because it's all handmade what I have on Etsy. I have some lapel pin and enamel pin and stuff, but those are, I still consider like very low run production. So 2017, so it's still just a year ago when I started the plushies. Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized like, oh, I should get the thousandskies.com to actually become a store. And I guess, yeah, last year is when it's officially thousandskies.com started.
Oh, I guess you mean like when you're officially fully committed, because now there's no way out.
Kind of, because
there's too much investment now.
Yeah. Before, I feel like it's all like I close my store all the time before I have the Etsy, because like I'm like, oh, I can't deal with it. I'll just close it, you know. But this time, I feel like, yeah, I'm fully committed. You're right. It's like the brand is there, so now I have to like run it like a business, and that's last year is when it started.
Okay, Vanessa actually went out of order. So we're trying to start this podcast with the question for you. And the question is, since our podcast is going to be video game themed, so the question for you is, what games are you playing right now?
Game I'm playing right now is Monster Hunter, because they have a Halloween event right now.
Oh no, I don't need any more games. No. Okay, we'll continue.
And Overcook.
We were talking about Overcook, and then I was telling Vanessa and that, like, when I first saw the gameplay and I looked at Joey, I was like, we would definitely break up over this game. It's like that kind of game. It's so stressful.
It is stressful. I think in October, like, it's crazy. Like, right now, I play a lot with just two friends of mine. We're really close. Like, we used to be roommates. And we already perfected all the stages, like, all 3 stars throughout in one person character. Then it went to my account. We perfected it, too. All the way, every single stage. And now we're starting with the third person. We're like, okay, we should just do it again on your account.
Like, you guys can't, like, the viewer can't see this, so I'm, like, shaking my head because that's the thought of that is so stressful.
That's amazing. That means you guys must be really good at it now. Like,
I think so. We communicate pretty well. I mean, there's stuff, like, where, oh, it's not perfect. Okay, one person needs to be doing this. We analyze it. So, I don't know. It's enjoyable. I mean, it's stressful, but it's also, like, once you get it done, the first run, we scream at each other a lot, but that's when we know we're, you know, it's just a game. we could tolerate it, but we also say, like, we cannot play this with mutuals because we probably end up
fighting,
yeah, or just, like, we change our opinion about that person, but at least between us, we yell at each other, it's fine.
And it's really rewarding when you, like, beat it, too, like, after, like, several tries.
Yes, and end up the game is more about, like, literally hanging out. Because, like, what we do, we already, like, it just sort of program it. And we just end up talking about lots of different things. Mostly, like, ranting about stuff. So it makes the game more aggro because you're ranting. You're like, I don't like what happens. Like, you know, and then... I was like, I'm cooking steak! I feel like, where's that plate?
Whenever you talk about video games, it always surprises me so much because my first impression of you, you were so nice and, like, I guess the word is harmless or, like, friendly and approachable, but when you play games, like, this other side of you comes out and I'm like, wow, she's actually really intense and feisty and you don't want to mess with Elda when she's playing her games.
Very aggro and lots of screaming.
So with the amount of games you play and then you're running thousands of guys and you also work a full-time job, how do you find time for all of this? Because, like, I do it full-time and I can't even manage.
No, so I don't play the video game, like, constantly every night, except when they first came out. There would be, like, a first week where every night
it's just... Guys, she's lying because I see her up until, like, 3 a.m. all the time. Or she will binge play. She would tell me how many hours she's actually put in, so...
No, usually before I start playing, so I usually start playing at 12 a.m. I would try to finish things, mostly, like, the fulfillment part, or I have to reply to someone's email. I'll do that first, and then... I'll do it really fast because I'd be like, I really want to play. So I got really efficient at it. And I, you know, start my TV and be like, ha, now I could sacrifice sleep.
That is the answer. Yeah. Who needs to sleep?
Yeah, who needs sleep? But when I'm really busy with stuff, like, for example, like right now I'm trying to... make new products and stuff like that. There'll be time where I just told my friend, okay, you guys go. I'm not going to be on, like, this week. And as long as not the first week of the game launch, I feel like it's pretty okay because we got all that, you know, all the things we want to do. We did it. So my friend ended up playing Elder Scroll when I'm not online. That's a game I don't play. They're trying to convince me to play it, but I'm like, guys, I would never be online, or either I would constantly play it and I don't get anything done. So I did limit my time. It's not like every day.
So it sounds like you just prioritize. If something needs to get done, you'll push something aside or you'll kind of make time to play games, which is good, I think, because you need that time to yourself.
There are times where I felt guilty that first week, I'm like, I know I probably need to do this instead of playing the games, but this is like, I need to do this. You know, the urge is stronger that first week. So I remember, I think when Animal Crossing was announced on mobile, like the mobile one, and I know that that urge will kick in, and this is like mobile game. So I know it's probably like, it's different. I feel like when you play console, you have to sit in front of it, right? And you could stop yourself because, oh, you have to go to work, you have to go here. But if it's mobile games,
it's
you know, the device is constantly in your hand. So I remember I saw that announcement, and my Twitter type was just like the F word all the way, you know, just all caps. And my friend, a lot of my mutuals, like, I never seen you curse before. But that's because I know this game gonna suck so much of my time, and I won't be able to control it because, like, yeah, it's mobile. And but it's like, okay, now the face is out, so I'm more neutral with the Animal Crossing mobile games. But yeah, the Switch one is coming out.
I know, I'm so excited.
But I don't have a Switch right now, so I'm like,
No, you should just buy it.
I know. I'm now. I end up like before I want to buy any. Any of the skin would be fine, but now that I know they announced Katamari and also
I'm really excited.
I'm really hoping one of them will have a skin, and I could just wait until they announce something and I'll get that one.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, it'd be sad to like buy it before something nice came out.
I bought my Switch 1 month before they announced the Pokemon one.
Oh.
And I was like, well, that's what I get for being impatient.
Get another one.
Get a second one. Sell your first one.
That's true.
So I know I ask you this all the time, but like with your time management, do you want to be full-time like Thousand Skies? And if not, like why not?
Right now, like there's a lot of pros and cons about it. But I do have, at least right now, I have a set of goal that I don't want to say it
out loud
because that's my personal goal.
Yeah.
If I reach that goal, I told myself, then I'll focus on Thousand Skies full time.
Okay.
But right now, I haven't reached that goal yet. So, and you know, I love people at my work, like the art team. I love them. I mean, it seems like they make me like more of a sane person, because sometimes I could go and talk about, I'm a type of person who I could be obsessed about one thing and I would just like forget about a lot of things. I'm just focusing all my energy in that one part. So when I hang out with my coworker, it neutralizes it a little bit. That I'd be like, okay. I'm still okay, and I, you know, so
I'm still normal.
I'm still normal.
I'm not hyper focused.
Yeah, it like not so much of a distraction, but it's more like they, hey, this is what normal people do and stuff, and I feel like I still need the day to day interaction, because I feel like if I go to Thousand Skies, I might be a hermit. I would just be like, I'm not gonna see the sun outside anymore. I'm just gonna working in front of a computer nonstop, replying emails.
I call it the dungeon. I'm like always in my dungeon. But you know, like when I was doing it for the first couple months, you do crave like the social interaction. So then I started scheduling hangouts with my friends, and I tried to socialize more. So I have phases where I'm like, no, I'm working. I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, don't even text me. I don't want to hear your text go off. And I have times where I'm like, hey, guys, I'm free. Let's play. Or let's go get boba. Or let's go get dinner and get fat together.
Yeah. So I think it's just right now, there's a lot of pros and cons. And right now, I know I'm not ready yet. And I still have a lot to learn from my work. So from my workplace. So it's good. It's a little bit stressful, but I think while I'm young, right? Just do it.
Were we just saying at the beginning of the recording?
I'm old.
We're old young.
Well, technically we're not old. We still have a lot of space to mess up. I think, like, the first part of, like, your 20s and 30s is all for messing up and, like, trying to find your way, right? Because people always say, oh, when you're done with college, you have your life figured out. But
yeah,
that's so far from the truth, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so just taking it easy. That's, I guess.
You taking, is this your definition of taking it easy?
Well, no, because I mean, like, if I'm taking it, like, it's like you are taking it hard, I think, because right now I have the padding because I work.
Okay.
So it's, in a way, it's slower for me. Everything just end up being slower because I can't go full force on anything. I mean, it's less risk, and I admire more of you guys. You know,
no, the other way.
You quit your full-time job and doing it. It's like, it takes lots of courage.
Disclaimer, because Elda, you have been my source of inspiration and my hero from, like, when the first time I met you or learned about you through Gaia. And then, like, even today, like, sometimes I sit here and I'm getting swamped and I'm so overwhelmed with my own production schedule. I think about you and I'm like, Elda's still at her full-time job. I don't know how she does it. And she plays games and she's like really hip because she plays all of the recent games. I don't know how she achieves so much in the tiny little 24 hours.
Yeah, so Greyjack and Cindy talks a lot about you and how great you are. So, but both of you are very admirable. So,
yeah, Cindy has a lot more, like, discipline, I feel like. Because, like, when you realize it, Cindy, you produce content nonstop. Like, I could take off social media, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks sometimes. I'm just like, oh, I can't handle this. And so I just stop, you know. So I feel in that way, that's when I said, like, I have less risk because I could just do, oh, I don't feel like doing this today, so I just don't do it. But with you, because you have this commitment full time, you have to constantly keep up with it, so it's harder. Trust me, because I'd be like, no, I don't feel like functioning today, I'm just gonna lay on the couch and sleep.
Like, oh, I feel like that all the time. But oh no, thank you, you're gonna make me cry on camera, like, oh, thanks. My hero noticed. Senpai noticed me.
Every time I look at my social media, I'm like, wow, Cindy produced so much content. So, you know, it's good. Your hard work is, you know.
Fueled by fear of failing. It's not healthy. I don't think being creative or being creator is actually, like, sane in any way.
I agree. Yeah. Sometimes you need that to... Sometimes, like, yeah, just do something different. And suddenly we're like, wow, I did that. Just because that everything is, like, you know, you need to let it out. And sometimes you produce something good. Sometimes you produce something not great. But but you need to be you to produce that content. So I think everything is good.
Okay, hold on. Emphasis on the you need to be you. Because a lot of people forget that, right? That is... People, when you look on, like, forums and stuff, people are always asking, oh, what is it that sells? What should I draw? What should I make next? What's popular? And my answer is, it doesn't matter what you make. You need to be happy making it. Like, yeah.
Now, I think, yeah, that's part of it. Like, when you're happy making it, essentially you're celebrating yourself too, I think, because, like, when you're happy, that means, you know, you're just being yourself, I think.
In the off chance that something you make isn't as popular as you wanted it, like, I have those moments where, like, something I'm really proud of isn't selling, and I'm like, whatever, I did it for me. I'm like, I wanted it, and that's why it's there, and that makes me happy, and I'm okay with that.
I think just creating in general, like, a lot of people think too much before they start creating. So the idea that you make something and hopefully you're happy with it, and then you keep learning what you like and go from there.
I mean, realistically, yeah, sometimes when you meet, because I know a lot of people, you know, doing this as their full-time job. So it is not realistic to just keep doing something for I mean, some people will have to do, like, for say, let's say, like, something that is popular at the time. And I have nothing against it because they could still make it, like, unique to their style.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, right now I'm not trying to say that, oh, you should just do something original. That's also not it. As long as, like, you know, it's you and you enjoy making it. So it could be, like, you enjoy making the character from this show and stuff like that. I think that's also legit. It's like,
the answer is follow your heart.
Follow your heart, yes.
Yay. Yes. As cheesy as that is. And actually, I don't know, when I met you for the first time, right, you mentioned that you were doing prints. Uh-huh. And then I remember, like, I was just fangirling so hard. I found every excuse I could to, like, go back to your table with anime and just smile and watch or talk to you. And then now those prints don't exist, right? Now you're just, like, whoop, we're giant, big, super fluffy stuffed animal doggy, and you're still very happy. And I think we're, like, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, where did she, when it, what clicked and what made her decide, hey, I'm gonna focus on this. This is my happy place.
I think that happens mostly because of space. Like, the year where I released the Super Fluffy Corgi, it's at Crunchyroll in 2017. So it's like end of August, I think. It was end of August last year. And I thought I would have that plushies by AX 2017.
I remember that. And then you even let me buy your
prototype. Yeah, I did. Yeah, but I didn't get it in time. And but so during that time, I was sharing booth with my friends mm-hmm. at AX, and so I still have my prints and my pins and stuff like that. And I got a lot of comments, like people were saying, "Oh, aren't you guys Artist Alley?" You know, "Oh, aren't you guys Artist Alley?" And I realized also in that instance that people prefer more merchandise when you go to booth compared mm-hmm. to prints. But I think it's also because the way I display it, you know, I still use my PVC pipe and stuff like that. So by the time I have my plushes, like, to me, it's more like, I think at Crunchyroll, I still have my prints. I still have my prints at that time because I'm at Artist Alley. I just realized that people want this more than the prints. The print sales has been going down anyway. So that's why I just decided, like, you know, let's just highlight this product. So I'm not going to bring prints. That's mm-hmm. my initial reaction. And when I go to the, like, dealer's booth, I feel like I want to do the display differently from how I used to display my stuff at Artist Alley. So I decided to get rid of the PVC pipes, and I buy this giant backdrops. And
which is really cute, by the way. I don't think I've ever complimented. But I love it.
Yeah, and then just dealing with the inventory on the plushies itself, I'd be like, yeah, all of these elements, I'd be like, yeah, I could not do prints anymore. Mm-hmm.
What made you kind of want to try, like, doing plushies? Because that's a big jump from, like, prints to plushies, right? What was your thought when you're like, oh, I want to try this kind of thing?
So before I have the prints to plushies, I do have handmade pillows. Mm-hmm. So I start hand making pillows because I'd be like, I start making pins and I have. I start making the prints, and then suddenly I jump to handmade pillow because at that time I was really into craft stuff, and I saw, like, a lot of people doing this, like, style pillows, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, that would be really cute. And I was doing this series of dog studies at that time, so I was like, hey, maybe I could do this dog as a print it on fabric and make it a pillow and see what happened. And I did it, and I was like, wow, I really like it. Okay, I'm just gonna do it, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll just do it and bring it to convention and see what happens. And people love them. I was like, wow, people love them. And that's when I first opened my Etsy store. So see, every time I decide to open a store, like, it's not because I sell my art prints, it's because people, I got a good reaction of something that is more physical, like tangible. I mean, like, mm-hmm. prints is physical, but it's a very unique item, like it's a very specific one. Right. But this is more like merchandising, and I, as a consumer, I do realize that I like to get something that is more like physical, not the right word.
Tangible,
yeah, I guess yeah. So. I mean, art prints is nice, but then by the time you start hanging them all on your wall, you're like, I need more space, and then I don't have any more space.
Yeah. Or
it's just like, I have more experience with tangible item because we, as a consumer, we have so much stuff on daily basis. I love shopping. Mm-hmm. I love to go to Target and just browse something, right? Or
who doesn't? Target is my happy place.
Yeah, so and that's when I'd be like, you know what, I'm ready. And mm-hmm. and even when I opened my Etsy store, I did not list my art prints. Yeah, I don't know why. It's just like always my no, I know why. Because it's harder to ship art prints. I was like, I don't want to deal with having them bend or something like that. It's okay. I'll just start with pillows because that's what was going viral at that time. It went viral on Tumblr. That's why I decided to open an Etsy store.
Mm-hmm.
And as I keep, because it did so well, I keep adding design throughout the year. So I think it went on for, I want to check what the...
It feels like you were very popular for like 2 or 3 years with those pillows until the super fluffy corgi replaced it. Now your super fluffy corgi and Shiba are like the star.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it was 5 years ago from 2013 is when I start making the pillows.
You're so cool. Oh my god.
2013. And then I start hating making this pillow because I handmade them, right?
Oh.
I start outsourcing it to my dry cleaner lady because she does alteration. I was like, hey, I'm having a hard time keeping up with this. Can you do this? It seems like it's really easy. You just, you know, you just sew it, turn it inside out, and stuff it. And it works. But then it's just the entire process. I try to scale it. That's when I knew I need to go bigger because mm-hmm. I could not maintain this. The handmade stuff is just not doable for me. And by then, I think 5 years has passed. I feel like I slowly, you know, gaining that money, like capital, so I could invest more in this mm-hmm. Manufacturing the bigger plushies. But even then, it was scary. But that's how I jump, essentially, how I have the handmade pillows, and then I know, like, I don't want to do it by hand anymore, so I go to manufacturer, and I did plushies instead of a two-dimensional pillows, but that's why I still have the cushion as well, because I still believe in the cushion, because I like to put it.
Oh, okay, so the cushion is a throwback to your, like,
yeah.
start.
Mm-hmm. And that's, actually, that was my original plan, was just making the cushion. But I keep telling, I was talking to my husband, like, I want to make this, like, you know, fluffy corgi, and then I'm going to translate it from handmade pillows into this cushion. So when he first saw my design, because I want to make it like a loaf, you know, that long, like, stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I thought when you say a loaf, it would be more like, literally, like, not flat like that. It would be more round. I was like, huh. So I end up trying to sketch what he meant,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out to be way better. So
isn't that so funny how life works like that?
Yeah, so credit for my husband because he said like, oh, I thought you said this, and I was like, okay, I'll make it. I like it so much that I decided to make 3 different sizes
mm-hmm.
of the plushies.
Yeah. But that's kind of the progression that you went through as you evolved, where you kind of grow out of something, right? Uh-huh. Like, you're doing it and it's not working for you anymore, and like, your time is more valuable, so you find ways to evolve to accommodate for more time
uh-huh.
that you can use in other resources. So like, no matter what, you're gonna be really busy. That's just the reality of doing this, right?
Yeah.
You find shortcuts to fill your time with more shortcuts.
Yes.
But it sounds like the risk you took, do you think the risk that you took were calculated, or do you think it's like, I just want it, so...
I just want it. It's really bad. Do not follow my lead.
No, I think that's great though, because you had like, you had an idea. You were like, I want to try this. And then you tried it and you're like, I'm going to see how it does. And then it does well. And then you just keep trying new things from there. And that's how you got as successful as you are now, I think.
I mean, thank you. I don't recommend it for others because it is a very high risk and I did not calculate it. I was just like, wow, I really like this. I mean, I really like this, you know, that mentality. I'd be like, if I like it, I think people would want it. Because, mm-hmm. like, my husband would be like, because he's very, he very tried to, like, not play any risk in a lot of things. So I'm almost, like, the opposite. But his first question to me was, like, did you do research? I'm like, no. Did you do a questionnaire, like ask if anyone interested in this? Oh, I asked my coworker. They like
that doesn't count. Your coworkers are obligated to support you in any crazy thing that you come
on board. But I mean, I do trust their taste, like their style, and I mean, they're very picky about the products that they buy, and they like it. But yeah, to my husband, it's more like you ask 5 people, and then. Did you do Kickstarter? At least that's when you know if it has its potential, right? Aside from you getting the money to do the production, but it's also you could gauge how much people interested in this, how much people want to back it up. I was like, no, Kickstarter sounds stressful.
Wait, it is stressful. Speaking from experience.
Uh-huh. Right, you have to like think of the tier and then you have to like... And then to me, maybe it's also a little bit of my pride. I'd be like, I just don't want to see it failed either. I don't know. It's just like, to me, it's just, let me do this. That's what I told him. Just let me do this. He was like, okay. Because I mean, it's all my money. Like, like I save enough to like, hey, I could do this without crowdfunding. And so I could say like, essentially, I'm investing in my side business from all this year of working and stuff.
Investing in your happiness. Yeah. That's how I say it.
It was stressful. It was stressful because I have zero idea about manufacturing, to be honest. It's yeah, I mean, you could learn it, like me. Eventually you learn it, which is, now I have a lot of funny story I could share to my friends and family who are like, you think I know how to like receive this much plushies, like even though everyone probably I had the experience with art book, but art book is still like, you know, flat,
compact.
You have a, yeah, compact, but this one is like giant. I also make a giant plushies, right? So no one could really write this down as well because every scenario is different. So my second shipment of plushies, even though I had my first one thinking that I know how to do this now. I don't. Second shipment came in. I'll be like, how on earth did I manage to, you know, so.
Where am I going to put this?
Right. So next week will be my third shipment. So I think I figured this out. I think I figured it out. But you guys could. You could ask me again next month and see how it goes. I'm probably like, oh my God, I did not know that I screwed up with this part. But I could give one of the example of what I screw up is the second shipment. They sent the load in, right? And I was ready with my storage space and be like, I got this all figured out. Except that when they say they deliver the load, it doesn't come with people to unload it. So they expect that when they deliver the stuff, I have people to unload all that boxes from the trailer, not the trailer, cargo truck.
Oh.
Dude, you saw my storage space,
yeah.
Right? So, and then so I was in panic that day because they could only wait for 2 hours for me to find people to unload those stuff. And I was like, oh my God, everyone's at work. It's not like I could like, hey, you guys, it's your work time to help me. So I end up calling a movers. I was lucky to find a local one that's available within the next 30 minutes to meet me at the storage and unload everything. So That was a nightmare.
Oh my god.
So I learned that this time I'd be like, can you please send the cargo truck with someone to unload it? And they still say, no, we do not provide that service. I'd be like, okay, at least I know this time. And I'm going to hire a movers ahead of time. So, yeah.
That's amazing,
That's one of the logistic nightmares that no one told you this. And I don't think people think that a lot of people like me doing it like this. I mean, they probably think, oh, you have a warehouse, you have a loading dock, you have someone, you have a forklift or something like that.
Have a forklift. What normal person owns a forklift?
But I mean, assuming when you start manufacturing plushies, right? Because I tried to do it with the sea freight and everything like that. They just assume I have a warehouse to store all of this. But no, I just have like a commercial storage, self-storage. I'm like, okay, I need to rent a big storage space so I could store not my apartment stuff, but my plushies from China. So, yeah.
So you're saying that, like, you basically said that you can't write all this stuff down. You pretty much, you could do as much research as you can, but you wouldn't really be able to learn any of this except through experience, right? And kind of just trying things out.
Yeah. It's
that's
very
creator life.
Yeah.
But I think it's also because I'm trying to grow right now, but I don't really have a mentor who could teach me this, so I'm just doing it. I'm figuring out as I go. So anything that I said is not, I could guarantee none of them are a great solution. There could have been a better solution. But right now I'm just doing it with what of the thing I have, like the thing that I could think of. So it's not very efficient.
But like, I'm thinking about how you must have felt when they said you have 2 hours to unload this, and it was like just you. If it was me, I would have been like, "What? No, come back!" Like either like you break it there and you cry because you just it's so stressful, or you're like rewind. But rewinding is not a real life option, right? That's why you're so cool, Elda. Oh my god!
It was so like that day when they say 2 hours to do this. It's actually more of 4 hours. I argue myself. You need to wait for another 4 hours. Because they're 2 hours early than what they scheduled time. Yeah. So I got that 2 extra hours leeway to like find someone. Because it was insane. But I felt like it was such a lucky day that they screw up. They came in too early. So I know the problem 2 hours early. So they have to wait from what they told me they came in it. 2 hours from that, so I have 4 hours to figure it out, or else they have to drive it back to I think it's San Francisco or Oakland, I forgot. So they have to drive it back, so I have to pay another time for them to come back. But it is really stressful. I don't know, I was like, after that day I'm just like, I'm done, and I'm just gonna like, and then I opened the plushies as well, and I found a mistake that you know, I'm not very, I mean, it's livable, but I was, you know, as creator, it's just like finding your enamel pin. It's only like, this part is a wrong color. And I was like, to people, they won't notice, but to a creator, it just sort of like, it hits you a little bit. Yeah. And I would spend like a couple days to just like grieve about the, like, trying to accept that, okay, it would be okay. And yeah, it's a tough, like, it's a tough life, Cindy. Even though I'm not doing this full time, but every time I go out with the process is hard, and so to others, like it's easy because you just buy it, right? But everything that goes behind the scene, I'm like, so much aggro going on.
But people were always like, why don't you do plushies? Feed me Dino in a plushie. I was like, No, you don't understand what you want. Like, you don't understand what that implies. You're not just going to get this cute little green fluff ball. You're going to sign me up for, like, I'm going to lose years off my life. I have to commit into a storage space. And then I can't even bring them to cons. Like, Elda had me to, I only carried 3 boxes that day for you. Mm-hmm. I delivered 3 of her large quirky plushies to her her storage space, and that was my whole car. I was like, where am I going to put my equipment and my display and all my other things? Like,
yeah.
Like, thinking about it, it's so stressful. Oh.
It is. I think it's just, I didn't just, that's why, like, maybe when you think, oh, how do you go from art prints straight to pillows? There's a lot of baby step that I took. I feel like that gear me up so I'm ready to take that next step. So I think it might come to you one day, Cindy. And maybe you're not ready about it right now, but I think it will. If when you're ready, you just sort of like, yeah, I guess this is it. I mean,
wait. Let's pause, because that I feel like you're kind of like, yes, Cindy, do the plushie. Pressure, like, not direct pressure, but yeah, do the plushies. You're going to be able to do it.
I think you will be able to do it. You just have to, when you're ready. Yeah. Okay. When you're ready, I could share you all the nightmares like what to avoid.
Elda can be your mentor.
Okay.
Plush mentor.
Not a great one. I just like.
He's my hero.
I'll be the mentor that like, this is what you not supposed to do.
Yeah, that's all you can share with people, right? Is,
yeah.
I can't tell you how to do it right. I can tell you what mistakes to avoid. But that's not going to be the whole picture. So, good luck.
So, speaking of being a mentor, I guess for people who kind of want to just get started, like, be it with, like, art or, like, maybe going into plush business or anything, what is the best advice that you've ever received that you would want to share?
I think before you try to go to the big I would say manufacturing a plushies is a big commitment, right? So I say if you could find your voice first before mm-hmm. you commit to making a lot of this a financial, you know, investment, I think that would be ideal. Because like before I make this plushies, I start knowing that dogs, like the subject of dogs, is really what I'm like, what I like, and what my I feel like I gathered enough follower to know that they like me for dog stuff, and that's when I committed more to it. But I feel like growing followers is important, and just leaving that good impression to your followers, your buyer, your customer is important. And then just know that if you decided to commit to this, there's a lot of, you know, sweat, a lot of commitment. It's the hard work is kind of like, it's different. It's not just like, cause to me, okay, that's right. This is what I'm saying. To me, what I like about creating is making the art itself. Mm-hmm. But as I dwell into this step, I realize I'm not just an artist anymore. I'm the logistic manager. I am I'm the accountant.
Uh-huh.
I am the marketing person. Yes. I'm the sales representative. So that's when you realize you just don't draw anymore. The drawing is such a luxury now that if you just sit down and you draw and not think about anything, that's the luxury. You have to wear so many different hats. Aside from having the capital, like, which is a high risk, you don't know if your plushie would be received well and stuff. So I would say, yeah, Kickstarter would probably be a safer, you know, option for if you're not financially, like, you know, willing to risk it. Because, like, what you invest in it, there's always a risk, like, oh, you have to be able to afford to lose it, essentially, right? And people like me didn't think of it at the beginning, but it happened.
It just worked out for you.
It works out for me, but it would be a very not a wise thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, but just realize that you going to this, you have to wear so many different hats, and a lot of people dreaded that, like, can I just draw? Can I just hire someone to do this part? But for the most part, you invest so much money in manufacturing them, unless you have a really, really good friend. But most likely, you cannot hire someone else. You have to do it yourself. And that's a lot of the thing that came with it. And And a lot of these are behind the scenes, so a lot of people didn't realize that you should be doing it. There's one time where I just like, oh, all this paperwork I have to research, and the making sure all the plushies are in compliance with all the standard safety for toys. And that's another thing. So it's almost like I'm a legal person too. Oh gosh, it's like, but
my head is exploding.
But I think I do all this extra stuff because I want to do it right. Mm-hmm. I want if this plushies, I want to be able to do wholesale. So if this plushie will be carried to other stores, I want them to be a compliance with all the rules mm-hmm. in this country.
You don't have to do it again.
Yeah. And I want my customer to be safe too. So I do it also because I don't want someone, you know, get sick because of this plushie and stuff. So I really think that part is important. So,
So it sounds like just know what you're getting into, but at the same time, really love what you're doing because there's so much that you have to do once you get into it.
Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we're actually running out of time. That's so fast. I feel like there's so much more I could talk to you about because I'm learning a lot of this for the first time. Mm-hmm. But we usually ask one question at the end in addition to the first one. So when you play RPGs, what class do you usually play and why?
So I don't usually play RPG. My first RPG is Maple Story 2, so mm-hmm. which is just this year. I don't usually play MMO at all. But then I learned, except for Monster Hunter, that's right.
Yeah, I was gonna say Monster Hunter. So
yeah. So my class is usually someone who do a lot of damage at once.
DPS?
In Monster Hunter, I'm like the great sword, because like that's like the weapon that could give you the most damage. And Maple Story, I tried Berserker once, and then the second beta, I tried the gunner, heavy gunner.
Okay, oh cool. That doesn't surprise me though. She was like heavy handed. Just go in one and be done.
Yeah,
in one. Hit once, be done, and then walk away. Like, low effort, high damage.
Full charge. Like, kind of how you did everything with your business. Just full charge. I want it, so I'm going to do it.
Yes. Like, oftentimes very clumsy, but yeah, that's my style.
It doesn't even need to be that calculated when you're, you know, like, I'm going to go in, and all it takes is one hit.
Kind of, yes. It's just like, I need it to be as efficient as possible in this one chance I have.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so where can people find you online? Like,
You could find me on Instagram, on Twitter, and Facebook. So Instagram is ThousandSkies. And Twitter is thousand_skies. Mm-hmm. On Facebook is thousandskies.art.
And any conventions coming up as well, they can find you?
The next convention I'll be at CorgiCon October 13th in San Francisco. That would be my last convention of the year.
Speaking of that, that means are we going to be able to get the site up that soon? That means now we're committed to that. I was hoping she would give us a later date. Oh my god.
No. So either people, you are listening to this pre the convention QuirkyCon or after QuirkyCon, in which you can look forward to stuff she'll be doing next year. Just follow her on Twitter.
So thank you, Elda. I hope that wasn't too awkward or hard for you.
I'm probably gonna like, wow, I babble so much.
I can't wait to edit this and play it back for you.
Oh my gosh, so I hope I'm not too babbly, because I tend to like speak and I forgot what you're asking. I was like, what was the question again? I just keep talking. I'm just like,
You've been great.
I was inspired. I was inspired. Yeah. Maybe not to do plushies, but to keep working hard.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, should we have her? Yeah. Can you? Okay, so we're going to close with the just press start and go, which is our motto. So can you say that with high enthusiasm for exits?
Press start and go?
Yes.
Yes.
Start or stars? I'm sorry.
Start. Start. Like a start button on the
okay,
game.
Start button. Okay.
3, 2, 1, go!
Press start and go!
Yay!
Thanks for listening to episode 3 of EXP Boosting. Next time, we're going to talk with Kitty and Max from T2T, a cute little boba shop here in Arcadia, California. T2T is a really special shop. It's really cute and really high quality. It's even managed to secure a solid 4.5 star rating on Yelp. So next week, we'll talk with Kitty and Max more about their journey in opening a boba shop and the obstacles they faced and overcame in order to be the great little shop that they are today. If you like what you heard, please check out our website at expboosting.com, the letter E, the letter X, the letter P, boosting.com, or check us out on social media at Twitter and Instagram at expboosting.